Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, stand with me if you would, please. Let's shake off whatever you came here with today. Whatever part of the world you came with, cares, stress, struggles you're carrying, let it go. Let it go. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We magnify you. We glorify your holy, holy name. Lord, we roll every care and every weight, every decision that's facing us tomorrow, tonight, next week, next month, over onto you. We're not going to worry about those things right now. We're going to be taught the word. Our lives are coming in alignment with you and the things that you have for us. And Father, right now, I pray for every single person in this room and those watching us around the world from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. Physically, I come against respiratory things that have been hitting this state in particular. And I speak a deep breath of air, clear, heads cleared up, back pain stopped. What all of these things that have been aching and plaguing our bodies, I speak the blood of Jesus, the word of the Lord, and I call you healed and whole in the name of Jesus right now. The top of your head to the soles of your feet, I'm asking for a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost in you, in this place. Come on, guys, hook your faith up with me here. In the name of Jesus, elbows, shoulders be made whole. All the little aches and pains that you've experienced since the weather changed, come against that in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, around the United States right now, for the healing touch in their body. That person that's on the respirator right now, I speak to your lungs and to your body in the name of Jesus. I say, line up with the word of God. In Jesus' name. I come against the fear, the sadness over that child. In the name of Jesus. There's no good grief here. We're going to get rid of grief. And we're going to focus on the goodness and majesty of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who is going through something in here physically? Physically or emotionally or relationally in your life? We're doing this. See these people with their hands raised? Those of you around them, reach out around them, pray for them right there. Who else? Who else is in here? These people here, this man here. We're gonna pray for you as well. Find out what it is they're believing for, what it is they're up against, and we're gonna agree with them. We're doing a little body ministry, a little body work going on in the house. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that's going on in their body right now, going on in their life right now, I speak life, health, wholeness, prosperity, blessing, the favor of God, the hand of the Lord be upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, guys, pray for them. I want to hear you. In the name of Jesus, we speak those things over you and all that you hold dear. In the name that's above every name. Be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Be set free. Woman, you are free. Man of God, you are free. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I pray for financial breakthroughs, ideas, inventions. In the name of Jesus. Gene, you got anything? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now let's praise Him. Because we're not going to work about it. We're not going to worry about it. We're going to thank Him that it's done. We're going to thank Him that it's done. In Jesus' name, from this moment forward, the healing power of God is at work in your body, affecting a healing and a cure. You have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we agree. Do you agree?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hand me that. I'll get to the word in a second here. I just sensed it.
I didn't, but I do.
Go.
There is in the room, you're dealing with a spirit of heaviness.
That's it. That's what I've been sensing all day.
It's a spirit of heaviness.
Couldn't put a word to it.
And a lot of times we blame the weather. This isn't the weather. This is a spirit of heaviness. So this is Bible school tonight. So what do we do for the spirit of heaviness? Well, do it. Let's have the garment of praise.
Put on the garments of praise.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise You. Praise His name. We praise You. That's it. We praise Your name. Come on, somebody, praise Him. Don't let a rock outpraise You. We praise Your name. We magnify Your name. We glorify the name of the Lord. We lift You up. You are great and greatly to be praised. Mighty in this place. Your train fills the temple. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of my faith. My soon coming King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Woo! You alone are worthy to be praised. You alone are worthy to be praised in this place. We magnify You, glorify Your holy name. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Yeah, well, let's take off that old garment. Put on that new garment. Glory to God. You need to do that right where you're at your house, your workplace, your apartment, wherever you're at. Praise Him. They always say, dance like nobody's watching. Well, praise like nobody's watching. Hallelujah. Because this is who we are. This is who we are. I've tried to put a name to it all day long. And I haven't been able to put a name to it till you said that right there. That's it. That's it. That's what it is. Glory to God. You look better already. Yeah? You better? Okay, well, bless somebody. Shake hands with somebody. Greet them. Hallelujah. That was it. Thank You, Father. Yep, that was it. Hallelujah. All right, you get anything else while I'm teaching, Gene? Here's the microphone. Grab it and go. Michelle, same thing. Glory to God. We have had a whole lot of... You ever bought anything and they ask for your ID? Okay, I'm not talking about that. That was a long time ago. But they ask for an ID, right? Yeah, no, me, okay, they ID me for stuff. Policeman stops you to shake your hand, tell you how wonderful of a citizen you are. Yeah. What does he ask for? Your ID. License. Yeah. So I like to define things. I'm going to define it tonight. Webster defines this, your identity, as the distinguishing character or personality of an individual, the distinguishing character or personality of an individual, the condition of being the same with something described or asserted, sameness of essential or generic character in different instances, sameness in all that constitutes the objective reality of the thing, or oneness. Your identity is your personhood. Now we've got, there's a really funny thing right now. Everybody's doing the DNA thing, right? To prove or disprove what they are. That's all I'll say about that. But it's a big thing in the news right now, right? Your identity is your personhood, who or what you believe you are as an individual. And I say that because there's a lot of people, they believe, I thought I was Irish all my life until I took the DNA test. Found out my arm's Irish. Rest of me, something else. It really was a shocker. Hey, look at that. And so it began to change the way I saw myself. Identity, though, is also connected to your purpose. Your identity is connected to your purpose. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. See, whenever the Lord speaks to you and calls you, he calls you from your destined place. Amen. Gideon was hiding when God called him that. He was not a mighty man of valor. He's a chicken. That doesn't translate well in the country you come from. I'm not saying he was literally a feathered dinner. Right, he's not Pollo, he's afraid. But he called him a mighty man of valor because God always speaks to you from your destined place. So when he's called you to something, he's already called you from a place that sounds strange to you right now, but that's your true identity because that's your purpose. We all have a unique and special identity, your genetic code, your DNA. I found this out, I didn't realize it because I thought my sister and I, wait a minute, our DNA doesn't match. We both looked at our parents funny. But no, I found out that different people in a family can carry one side of the family a little more than the other side of the family. So we're genetically related, it said that. But she carried a little more of something than I did. Isn't that something? Yes. That's possible? But that is unique to me, unique to her. Now I can take my phone and use my finger and it identifies me. Do you have that? Your fingerprint. And your fingerprints are unique. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In all the years that I was a pastor, senior pastor, and even now teaching in the Bible school, I've never ceased to be amazed at how many people still don't know who they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Reading from Jimmy's version. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Right? Let's go on. And that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. I've underlined that in my Bible. Know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know this verse right here, right? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me read that same verse 17 in the New Living. It says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I can't tell you how long I lived still identifying with the old guy. But that guy's dead. He was crucified with Jesus Christ. He was buried. And I need to not resurrect him. Yeah? Okay, look at verse 17 in the Amplified. It might be a little loud because it is Amplified. Here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith, in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. The Passion Translation of verse 17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Isn't that beautiful? Now, back to verse 16. Know no man after the flesh. That's not a suggestion, right? I'm going to say, when it says no man, it's talking about mankind. I'm going to suggest that goes for you too. Don't know yourself after the flesh. Begin to know yourself after the Spirit. See, knowing yourself after the flesh, that's your identity with Adam. And if I'm going to look at myself as Adam, every month of October when we were pastors, I did Monster Month. I dressed up like Frankenstein one service, the Mummy one service, Holy Ghostbusters. We ain't afraid of no ghosts. Some churches are afraid of the Holy Ghost, but we ain't afraid of no ghosts, right? Oh man, I can't remember all of them now. But one of them was called Adam's Family Values, Adam's Family. Lurch and Fester and all those people. And you didn't want to be like the first Adam anymore. That the second Adam came and remastered me out of the first Adam. So this is being recorded. Audio, prepare yourself for what I'm about to do. No headphones on, please. So this is being recorded right now. And it is live right there. I just hit that microphone with my hand. So every successional recording, they'll put the master in, and the master will make copies. And so at whatever time that was that I did that, that thump will be on every copy because it's in the master. So when Adam did what he did, when I was born of a man and a woman into this earth, I had that same nature flaw because I came from the master. So in order to change this, we had to remaster Adam. And that's what Jesus did. The second Adam came and remastered this thing. So he took out all the pops and scratches. And so for it not to be on every copy, they're going to have to go back and re-edit the master. I'll see that. That's what happened to you. That old thing's gone. You've been remastered into a second Adam. We all grew up in a dysfunctional family. Yes, all of us. We all had a Lurch and a Fester and all of us. But now that I'm in Christ Jesus, that's gone. It can't be redone again. I can't go back. I can't be separated back to that. You get it?
Yes.
And once you begin to understand this, that who can separate me? Who can go back and re-edit that back in there? Because he holds the masters. I'm in him. And as long as I realize that fact that I'm in him, then I'm golden. You're not going to like this. Some people, that's where they get mad at me, Gene. You're not under a curse. You can't be under a curse. It's done. Generational curse, any kind of curse, done. They show you, and I showed them in Bible school today, didn't I, guys, where the curse went down through this line, that there was a prophecy that for 10 generations, an illegitimate child could not be an inheritance in the land for 10 generations. And this is why David was the 10th generation from that guy. And so when they wanted a king early, they got Saul because it was early. If they would have waited, David was number 10. But there's no curse now. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, the blessing of Abraham. There's no curse with Abraham. Okay, I'll go on. Some of you are looking at me in that tone of voice, so I'm just going to go on. So know no man after the flesh, especially you. Especially me. That's my identity with Adam. You need to know your identity in Christ, your second Adam, your new creation. People will say to me things. Have you ever gone to a high school reunion?
No?
Probably a smart idea. I've got one coming up and I'm praying about it. Because they'll say, dude, I remember you. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. But I don't remember it, but it's probably true. Right? If it was prior to this date, that's probably true. But I don't remember it. It's not because I don't want to remember it. I just wouldn't have remembered it then either. You know, just saying. That's all I got to say about that. That guy's dead. So all of us have suffered in Adam from identity crises. We've had fallen identity, imposed identity, identity confusion. Hello. Stolen identity, fake identities. Today we see it all across the United States, identity politics. segregating people by group of identity in order to gain an advantage. You know, it's this group against that group and that group against this group. That's not how God does things. You're part of the family. You're part of the body. He's the head of the body. I have never been tempted to take this left knee and say, I'm kind of tired of you. You have caused me a few problems. And so I go down and I talk to the doctor and I said, would you please remove my left knee? I've had it for these many years and I'm done. It bends all the time. It's like got this bending ministry. It's silly, isn't it? Yes. Done with this finger. Would you please cut this finger off? We don't do that. Let me help you with something. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to cut off any member of his body. And this is why many of you are in trouble all the time, because you don't rightly discern the body. He told us in communion, didn't he? He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about the body. He's the head of the body. I'm not in competition with any other church. We're all the body. When you criticize another member of this church, or, well, you know, they're just not very deep, Pastor Gene. They just kind of, you know, surface stuff over there. You just are criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, well, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. I learned something when I was a pastor. I don't own sheep. They're his. I'm not in competition. I have a bank account at Wells Fargo. And so there's more than one Wells Fargo branch. There's one out here with the cows. There's one in with Alliance, and there's one downtown. And if I go to one of the branches that I didn't sign up at that one, I don't go back to the original one. They go, Greg, we noticed that you made a transaction at a branch across town. Did we do something to offend you? I mean, did we hurt you in some way? We noticed that you were over there, and we want you to be here. They're a branch office. They don't care. So why do we do that in the church? I need to get back and preach here on the... Stay with your notes. Stay with your notes. Stay with your notes. So what or who we identify with affects our identity. When you're closely related or associated with someone or something, that becomes your identity. The same as by association, to be considered one and the same. A close connection makes you similar. Okay, so if I give you a name, let's say Dr. Martin Luther King, what's he known for? Civil rights. Civil rights has become his identity. See it? Kenneth Copeland. Faith. Is he faith? Yes. Is he faith? No, but that's become because he's been so associated with it. So let me ask you this. What have you associated with? If I say John Hagee, CUFI, Hillsong, music. See it? You're identifying them how they're perceived, right? It becomes their identity. Yet Hillsong has wonderful preaching too. But we know them for praise and worship. Yes? So let me ask this. Eagle Mountain International Church. Don't answer it. Your name. If I ask people outside of here at the market down the road, what would they say? What would they say about you? What would they say about me? I want to be known, and I say this all the time, and people have made fun of me over it. I want to be known as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it all the time. I want to reflect him, wear the dust of my rabbi, look like, sound like, talk like, walk like him. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Every day I'm getting there. So Jesus identified with our humanity so that we might identify with his deity. Okay, your new identity is discovered in the scriptures. That's the written word. So my new identity will be discovered right here. My new identity will be recovered in Jesus, because that's where I'm remastered. You catch what I just said to you?
Yes.
It will be discovered in the Word. It will be recovered in the living Word, in Him. So after the flesh versus after the new creation. So do I want to be after the flesh or do I want to be after the new creation? In Romans 7:18, it says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh." Hear how Paul defined that? "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Isn't that interesting? In my flesh. Notice how he differentiates it. Philippians 3:3, written by who? Come on, guys. Who wrote Philippians? Who wrote Romans? Listen to this. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in what?
The flesh."
The flesh. You've got to learn to see that that old thing is the flesh. My spirit man, if you could see my spirit man, he doesn't look like this guy at all. He's ripped. Seriously. You can laugh all you want to. I'm just telling you. I see him totally different than this guy. This guy is never going to be renewed until the rapture. What if you die first? Still, it's not going to be renewed until the rapture. The dead in Christ shall go first. This is when this is going to be renewed. There's only one guy that has flesh that's renewed. His name is Jesus. Okay? My soulish man the flesh has no voice. The soulish man is the one that's the deciding factor. My mind, will, and emotions. So, example. Here's my hand. It's the same hand I've had since I was born. Those are the exact same fingers that I had. I am complete with what I had from the beginning. Yeah? So I was complete when I was a baby. When you were a baby Christian, you were complete. But you just grew. So here's my hand. I can take this hand and drive down the road and somebody pulls over in front of me and waves number one at me and I can wave number one back at them. Right?
Yep.
Can I do that?
Yes.
Am I capable of that?
Yes.
I can take this hand. You're a pretty big guy. I'll try you. I can take this hand, double this up, and pop you right in the face. Can I do that?
Yes.
I can also take this hand under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and lay my hands on you and agree with you and the healing power of God.
Amen.
Happens. Yes?
True. Yep.
So if this hand can be used to hit you in the face or be used to lay hands on you, which one is it? It's both. The hand has no vote. Your flesh has no vote. This is why we give nothing to the flesh. That helps somebody. So nothing good dwells in this. John 6:63 says that the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So everything Jesus said to you is to your spirit man. When he was preaching to you, he preached to your spirit man. He didn't speak to your flesh. He didn't preach to your flesh. Jesus didn't get up and say, "You guys were out in Jerusalem and you were clubbing last night." Come on. He's not speaking down to you, bunch of sinners. He's speaking to your spirit man, speaking life.
Amen.
Oh, goodness. Flesh connects us short term to a temporary identity, who I am temporarily on this planet. The spirit connects me to my eternal identity. So your short term is your immediate family. Your long term identity is the family of man in Adam. And your new identity is the family of God in Christ. We discover who we are in our Creator. Okay? We discover our new identity in His Word. Okay? So, by revelation of Scripture, that's His written Word. By relationship with Jesus, that's His living Word. So, as I develop my relationship with Jesus Christ, my identity begins to change from glory to glory, even into His image. For we don't know how we will appear. Come on, remember that? but we shall be like him. As he is, so are we. Where? In this world, right? So you got to get that revelation. Go to Matthew chapter 16. You guys okay?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. See, I thought I knew Jesus till I met him. I remember one time Michelle and I, we were pastoring in California, and we were driving up to some minister's luncheon thing, which I always hated those things till I got there, and it was ended up being okay. And all the evangelist guys were going to hit me up for a meeting. And all the other guys, any pastors in the room, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, come on. All the evangelist guys are going to hit me up for a meeting because I'm in San Diego. Of course you're called to come to San Diego. And all the preacher guys are going to talk about, how many are you running nowadays? What have you been preaching on nowadays? Well, here's my notes. I just brought them. You can go ahead and you can have, I don't know. I just didn't like it. So we're driving along, and she is great with child. And I'm thinking already exits ahead because, it's Southern California. You have to think, you have to plan this thing. And she needs to stop right there, right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it to that next one. And I wish I wouldn't have. It was like, we need to stop now. And so we pulled into this thing, and I'm standing in line buying whatever I need to buy. And these two people were talking about Michael Jackson. And if you didn't know better, you would have thought these two people are personal friends of Michael Jackson. They know what he likes to eat. They know what color this, and they know about this about his house. They know that about him, and they know all. I'm like, these people know Michael Jackson. And then I heard this in my spirit. That's the way you've been with me. You know a lot about me. A lot of facts about me. Do you know me? Obviously not to the level I do need to know you. And so that began the hunger and some changes. Where did I say? Matthew 16? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, I've been there, I love it. He asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Interesting question. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets or one of the other prophets. Then he asked him, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Look at that. You did not learn this from any human being. You didn't learn this after the flesh. No man can reveal Jesus to you. Wait a minute. That was a moment. I didn't warn you I was going to tip a cow. I didn't warn you that I was going to tip one of your cows right there. You need to check your neighbor on that one. No man can reveal Jesus to you. And no man can reveal who you are in Jesus. Your parents, your professors, your psychology people, not even your pastor. It has to come from the Word and spending time with Him. So how did Jesus discover who he was? Luke chapter 2, New Living Testament. Luke chapter 2. This is where he wanders off, right? A lot of verses tonight. You okay? Verse 49. I've gotten in the habit because we're in Bible school mode right now. Why do you need to search, he asks. Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. If you'll grow in stature and nature with your Father, you will grow in the eyes of people. Not the other way around. In his Father's house, about his Father's business. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you this one real quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm telling you how Jesus found out who he was. Verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. The volume of the book is written about me. See that? It's all written about Jesus. The entire book, thousands of years, 66 books, 40 some odd different writers over thousands of years. And there's one continual thread, one continual thought, and it's all about one person. And he is the head of the church. He's the savior of your soul. soon coming king. His name is Jesus. And he wants to have an individual personal relationship with you. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 39 and 40. John chapter 5. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." He said, the scriptures are talking about me. You think you have eternal life because of the scriptures. They're talking about me. "But if you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." This is what he said to him. "You're not willing to come to me." He's talking to the Frankensteins right there. Luke 24 and verse 27. This, I love this one. This is after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's on the road to Emmaus. He's walking along. Two people that followed his ministry are walking with him. I thought he was the one. Yeah, me too. I really did. We kind of thought it was going to be John, and then that whole beheading thing happened. But then he said, "This is the guy." And then we saw what happened to this guy. I don't know who to believe anymore. Yeah, me neither. I don't know. And here's Jesus talking to him, and he says this, "And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself." He taught them about himself in the scriptures. He showed them himself all the way through the scripture. And it says that their hearts burned within them when they realized who this was. He has autographed the book. He autographed your life. So how do you and I discover him? We find it in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm trying to burn in you tonight a hunger to find your identity. Find your identity. See, some people get stuck on Friday. What do I mean by that? You remember after the death, burial, and resurrection, traumatic thing. Mary is at the tomb on Sunday morning, right? And she's looking in and she sees that he's gone. Oh, he's gone. She turns around, she runs into the gardener. Yeah? "Can you tell me where he is?" Remember the whole story? He's standing right in front of her. She doesn't recognize him. Why? She's stuck on Friday. When he called her by name, she heard it. And she got unstuck. I would submit to you that some of you are stuck on something somebody said to you when you were a little girl. And you believed the lie. Or somebody said to you something to you when you were a teenager, or they made fun of you. Whatever it is, you've been stuck with that identity. And I'm here to tell you right now that Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, paid an expensive price to get you unstuck. And you've been living in that poverty mentality that your family has lived in that same cycle, in that same system. And tonight, you need to break out of that thing because he's calling you by name and saying, "Get unstuck." You are not what they said you were. You're not what they say you are now. There's no curse over your family and over your generation because he became the curse for you. Amen. Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. I used to struggle with Deuteronomy 26, 27, and 28 because it didn't sound like his character and nature. Being honest. Struggled with it till I saw something. And I saw it not too long back. Moses is rehearsing what's going to happen when you go into the promised land. And when you go into the promised land, there'll be two mountains. And I want part of the tribes, half the tribes to go to the cursed mountain. I want half the tribes to go to the blessed mountain. The Levites will be in the center. And the Levites are going to pronounce the curses. And all the people on this mountain will say amen to it. And then they're going to pronounce the blessing. And all the people on the blessing mountain will say amen to it. And then I saw something I had never seen before. And I love it when the Holy Spirit reveals himself like this. I saw the Levites in between this thing. We'd done this side, now we're on this side. I saw it right there. The Levites took the king of Ai. Remember that little town Ai? They took the king of Ai and they hung him on a tree. And then they took him down before sunset. and they buried him outside the city gate. And I'm like, ooh. They took the king and hung him on a tree and took him down right before sunset and buried him outside the city gate. And then they did the blessing. Galatians chapter 3 says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing. And I saw it. The king hung on a tree. All that's left, he became the curse. All that's left is the blessing. Because I'm identified in him, there is no curse, only a blessing. There's no curse in the blessing of Abraham. Good. What I'm trying to tell you is whatever it is you stuck on, whatever it is they said about you that you believed and you hung on to it and it became your identity, that's gone. Because you're in Christ Jesus, you have a brand new identity, and you need to let the light of his glory now shine in that area of your soulish realm, and we need to get rid of that in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I get rid of that. I am no longer that person. In Jesus' name, you have taken that. I identify myself now with you. Come on, whatever it is in your life that you got stuck on. You're too fat. You're too ugly. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong sex. You're the wrong this. You're the wrong that. You're not smart enough. We're going to let that go. I don't care who in your family said that over you. The Father says other things over you. You're his beloved anointed child, his favorite. My God, my God, my God. I told you to go to a verse. Which one was it? Colossians. Hallelujah. This is too good to be true. Yes, it is. That's the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I've made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints. It's manifest in you. There's nothing hidden from you. It's made manifest in you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's your identity. Christ in you, the hope of this world. No, the hope of glory. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with what? Mama and Big Mama. No, I conferred with Uncle Ed and my pastor. What does it say? I conferred not with flesh and blood. It pleased God to reveal Jesus in Paul. Can you believe that? Let me ask you this then. Would it please God to reveal Jesus? What's your name? Would it please God to reveal Jesus in Audrey? You hesitated. Come on, let it sink. Would it please God to reveal Jesus in John? Does that sound strange to you to say that? Come on, ask it out loud. Would it please God to reveal Jesus in Greg? This is what Paul wrote. Think about it for a second. I don't know. Because see, you know all about you and your junk. You need to get rid of that. See, how many of you, be honest with me, you started disqualifying yourself. Well, please God to reveal Jesus in me. Really? You don't know where I work. You don't know my neighbor and their mean, ugly dog that I curse at all the time. Would you shut up? You don't know I have to go past three railroad tracks to get here. God's working on me with railroads. Come on, you don't do that? Really? Now? You're going to go now? I had one do this thing and the little things went down and he's... I'm like, I think I can. And he gets there and then all of a sudden he starts backing up. I'm like, what are you doing? Seriously, what are you doing? It pleased God to reveal Jesus in Greg when a train was going by. Come on, any of you that you struggled when I said that about God being pleased revealing himself to the world through you? Anybody in here, be honest enough, you struggled with that? You did? That's his desire, because you're no different than Paul to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's look at Jesus right here. It pleased God to reveal Jesus in Paul. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that true? You understand in the first covenant or in the Mosaic covenant, it was thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. In this covenant, it's I will, I will, I will, I will. Where he's talking about it, I will do this and I will do that and I will do this. There's not a whole lot about you're not supposed to. There's a whole lot about what he's going to do. We have this mistaken identity with God. See, I began to learn about him and I had an encounter with him that I saw him different. We think that sin is kryptonite to him. Sin, oh my God, I'm holy. There's sin over there. Ah! And we go over here. Oh, it's back there too. That we're separated. It's just the opposite. He became it. He runs to it. You don't believe me? Look at the prodigal son. He ran. The father, we always see this image of he goes to dad. I'm not worthy. I know you're not worthy. I tried to tell you, you moron. You're just like you're just like my brother. I told you, never going to amount to nothing. Didn't I tell you that? Right? I was waiting for you to come back, say you're sorry. What'd you do? Do you have any change left? It's not like that. We think that the son came back and he knelt at his daddy's feet. That's not what happened. You go back and you read that. He saw him coming and ran to him and jumped on him. This is a picture of your heavenly father toward you. Yes. Not afraid of it. He became it. If we could just ever get to the place that scripture says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Yeah, but no. Did he say that or did he say that? See, that changes your identity. It changes how you see you. It changes how you act. It's not kryptonite. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus did not sin to be made sin. Now, let me say that again. You got to get that. Jesus did not sin to be made sin. He became it. It was placed on him. We don't do good works to be made righteous. We do good works because we are righteous. So what did I ever do to become righteous? Except Him. Be in Him. That's it. I've shared this with you so many times, but I want to do it again for those, for new people that may be watching us. When you brought your lamb, your little lamb that you examined that came into your house and lived with you, because that's what was supposed to happen, and you brought it to the high priest would look at your lamb and he would determine, what's he looking for? When you're bringing it for sacrifice, for the atonement of your sin, what's he looking for? A blemish on it, right? Like it's got like a wonky leg or something, or its eyes are doing this kind of thing. You know, you don't want to bring that lamb that's like the twitchy lamb. You know, oh, he's all right. It's just, he's just nervous. You know, he gets like this when he sees priest robes, you know. No, you don't want to bring that lamb, right? So what does he do? He examines the lamb. How many of you did the sin walk? You know, you got the saved and you did the walk. You did the, I call it the perp walk. You do the walk. I did that so many times. I padded some evangelist stats. I got saved every night of the revival. Come on. One time they told my grandfather, make him stop. He goes, it'll take one day. That was his answer, right? And so it did. When I'm bringing, here's the lamb, and you're the priest. I'm bringing the lamb. What are you doing? I wish you could see him. His eyes are on this. What's he doing? He's examining this.
Right.
When you made the walk, the Father never looked at you. He didn't look at you.
That's right.
He didn't look at you. What do you think? What about this one? Hey, Gabriel, come here. He didn't look at you. He looked to the Lamb. He turned to his right, seated at the right hand of the Father. He turned to the Lamb and said, yeah, buddy. You're only as good as your sacrifice. I'm trying to tell you that your sacrifice was perfect. He wasn't a twitchy lamb. He's perfect.
Hallelujah.
He's perfect. And he's still perfect. And he's ever interceding on your behalf. And all that stuff in your past needs to go. And it needs to line up with who he is. Well, I look at me and I don't see that. Of course you don't. That's why you got to not look at the flesh anymore and begin to look at who you are in the Spirit. And if you got to write it on your mirror about who you are in the Spirit, then write it on your mirror till you begin to see who you are in the Spirit. I remember Brother Copeland years ago saying to me, you got to see yourself the way heaven sees you. Jesus and his identity. He did not sin to be made sin. We don't do good to be made righteous. Jesus and his identity. Lucifer is tempting him after his baptism, right? At the beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 4. He says, if you are the Son of God. What's he doing? He's attacking his identity. He left out a word.
Beloved.
He's never going to remind you that you are loved.
I tell you, there's nobody that loves me at Eagle Mountain. They just don't love me. Somebody was sitting in my seat. I sit in that seat every year. That's my seat. I sit in that seat every church service. And the ushers know that's my seat. It's got my name on it. And they put somebody in it. They don't love me. Never going to remind you you're loved. Not here. That doesn't happen here. That might be at your church, but it really doesn't happen here. At all. Much. Once in a while, but in the youth service, not over here. Well, once in the choir, I think. Didn't it, Doc? One time, I think it happened in just one time. But he took care of it. Just. If you're the Son of God, he's attacking his identity. Right? In verse 5 and 7 of Matthew 4, he's the same thing. He says it again, if you're the Son of God, attacking his identity. Have you ever had the enemy do this? Well, if you were really a Christian. If you were really filled with the Spirit. If you were really born again. If you were really given out of a cheerful heart. Uh-oh. And then in verse 8 through 10, he says, worship
worship me or worship the creation versus worship the creator. He's saying go horizontal for your value instead of vertical for your value. And that's where a lot of people get it wrong. Honey, that's where you missed it, is because you've gone horizontal for your value. And horizontal for your value will never value you. The only way to get your value is to go vertical. And when you go vertical, you can then go horizontal and be like him. So at the end of Jesus' ministry, here's an interesting thing. At the end of his ministry, in Matthew chapter 27, verses 33 through 44, I'm not going to read it to you. Once again, his identity is under assault. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, his identity is under assault. Listen to this. While he's hanging on the cross, becoming sin, staring at an angry God. It's the only time he ever used the word God. He always said Father up to that point. This time he says God. Why? Because he's looking at him. A holy God for the first time. He's separated. That was not for dramatic effect, so Cecil B. DeMille could put it in the movie. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This time it's not Daddy. Now it's God. He says, listen to what they say. If you be the Christ or the Messiah, save yourself and then us. They're attacking his identity. You see something about the enemy? When he attacked Eve, he was an attack, the sideline attack, right? He went to her and he attacked her identity. She was already what he was offering to her. This is why your ID is important. If you're the Son of God, if you are the Messiah, save yourself, then us. That's what he was doing when they were saying to it, saving them. So while you're healing people in him, there will be some attack come on you. Well, if you're really a healer, how come you're wearing glasses?
Yeah.
Well, how come that healing evangelist has a hearing aid? If they're such good healing evangelists, why don't they go to Children's Hospital and just do their ministry services there? Huh? Have you heard that one? I've heard that one. What are they doing? They're attacking identity. He is always going to try to attack your identity and not tell you who you truly are. A person comes to church, I've seen this so often, and gets built up in the Word, and then they begin to stand on the Word of God, and after a while, there's almost an arrogance to that, that they can come in there and some people's hearts get an attitude, well, it's because of my faith and my great wisdom that got you healed. Folks, let me help you with something. God healed you and God prospered you and God blessed you and he got you up this morning. He even got you dressed. He showed you where your car keys were, how to start the car. Don't ever do it. I heard Keith Moore tell this story. That he asked the Lord, what's the difference between what's you and what's me? You ever heard him tell that story? And for a long time, I forgot how long it was. I don't want to get it wrong. 3 days. He was in the belly of the fish. No, for 3 days. He couldn't remember to play the piano. Couldn't find his notes for class. Went to the wrong class. Didn't know what to say. Looked up there to preach. Didn't know what to do. And he realized it's all you. It's Christ shining in you, through you. The moon is a reflection of the sun. It's the lesser light. Greg will always be the lesser light. He has to be the greater light. My job is to make Jesus bigger than Thor. Yes. Bigger than Captain America. Bigger than Darth Vader. Bigger than Superman. Come on, right? Because the world's looking for something like that. What they're looking for is the sons of God to be made manifest in the earth. But we've been running around trying to figure out who we are. Letting people tell us we're this or that or the other. Folks, God is the one that healed you. In fact, the closer you draw to him, the more of the word you have, you should end up walking in more of the humility toward yourself and greater praise towards him. Bible tells us Abraham became strong in faith. It didn't say Abraham became strong in faith by taking all the glory for himself. It says that Abraham became strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Abraham became strong in faith, giving glory to God. I remember Brother Hagin saying it all the time, the three G's, girls, gold, and glory. Get those straight, everything will be fine in your ministry. In other words, all the glory belongs to Him. I'm able to stand up here because of Him. Because if you knew all my stuff, which I don't remember anymore, it's probably true. Don't remember it, because there's a bloodline. So you're to walk in faith, but in the end, strong faith always glorifies God. He's the one that heals you. He's the one that brings deliverance. And the more I know the word, the more I should fall in love with Jesus. Everything in our messages should point to Jesus. Brother Jeremy Pearson said it to the students just the other day. It's fabulous. Fabulous. Faith preacher, grace preacher. They're one and the same, really. Faith preacher, grace preacher should always point to Jesus. If either one of them aren't, it all points to Him. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the Aleph Tav. He signed the Bible with His initials in the Hebrew. He signed your life. My God. You got to fall in love with His grace. You got to thank Him for the stripes that were upon Him. You got to thank Him for His shed blood. Thank Him for the things that He did for me so I can walk in abundant life that He has for me. You got to lose your old life in Adam. Discover your new life in Christ. In Him you know all things. Come on. Amen. And are given all things and can do all things. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So after the flesh, and I'm not going to take the time for all these verses, but let me tell them to you. And if you want to write them down, you can. 1 Corinthians 8, 2, Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7, 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. I know, go fast, you're going too fast. 1 Corinthians 8, 2, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. That's all the know-nothing scriptures in your flesh. My flesh knows nothing. Romans 3:27 and 1 Corinthians 4, chapters verses 5 through 7 says, I have nothing. I know nothing in my flesh. I've got nothing in my flesh. And John 15:5 says, in my flesh I can do nothing. So why do I want to live by that? Seriously, why would I want to know nothing, have nothing, do nothing? Anybody? I mean, that's far beneath what we were redeemed from. So after Christ, though, after being grafted into Him, listen to this. 1 John 2:20 says, I know all things. Hey, that's different. Instead of knowing nothing, I know all things. Colossians 2:3. 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Colossians 2:3, 1 Corinthians 1:30, 1 Corinthians 2:16. I know all things. Listen to this. I've been given all things now, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I've been given all things. The Father gave everything back to Jesus. Didn't He? And the keys. You realize that Lucifer's got, you got nothing, dude. Got nothing. And this is why I say all that. Somebody said, I shouldn't talk like that. The devil will hear you. I know he'll hear me. I want him to hear me. Hammer had it right. Can't touch this. I mean, he had it right. Can't touch this. Right? Because if he could, he would, but he can't. So I know all things. I've been given all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. I've been given all things. Now listen to this. I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. So I went from know nothing, have nothing, do nothing, to know all. I'm a know-it-all. In Christ. Know all things, been given all things, and can do all things. Isn't that beautiful? That's who you are in Christ. You got to get that identity about you. You've got to begin to rehearse that. You've got to begin to say that. Even when it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like it, when everybody, including Big Mama, is screaming at you that you're lying. Yeah, you went to that cult school and now you're just lying like they do. I know you. I know where you come from. No, you know my flesh. But my spirit man's not that. I know all things. I've been given all things. I can do all things through Christ.
Once again, what does that say? I can do all things where? Through Christ
that strengthens me. I can't do it in myself, but in Him I can do all things. What would you try? I said it to class today. What would you attempt? What would you do if you knew that you wouldn't fail? Seriously, think about it. I want you to dream for a second. What would you do? Well, you don't know. At my age, I don't care what your age is. Caleb and them were 80 years old. Brother Copeland's 82. Look at him. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do? You'd go on the mission field. See ya. If that's the desire of your heart, that's what He's called you to do. You're going to do it. Has He promised any of you anything in here? Yes. Says in Scripture that Sarah herself received strength to conceive because she judged Him faithful. You need to sit down and put yourself in remembrance of all the things that He's done for you and that He's been faithful. Well, I can't think of nothing. There's your problem. Let me help you. He said He would save you. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right?
Yes.
Did He do it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes?
Anybody in here, He didn't do it? He did it. After you got saved, there's something called 1 John 1:9. After you got saved, you messed up. And you came back. Did He hold it against you or did He forgive you and place you right back where you left off?
Yes.
Did any of you, He did that your second time, third time, fourth time? Fifth time, six, seven, eight, nine. We're not going to keep counting, but He did it. Anybody in here, He promised that He would heal your body. Anybody in here, He's ever healed your body?
Yes.
Come on, wave at me if He's ever healed your body. I've already given you three things. He promised that He would fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Has He done that?
Yes.
How do I know that? How do you know? You sure? And He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, He's with you always. So I've already given you, what, three or four things that He promised and that He's been faithful to do. And so if He promised that, whatever it is He's promised you now, He's going to do it. It must come to pass. It must come to pass. Come on, stand with me if you would. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, just praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Those of you watching at home, Gene's got some words for you. Be right there. Doc? Hallelujah.